O God, the author of peace and lover of concord. To know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the might of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. O tarry and await God's pleasure. Be strong and let your heart take comfort. Wait patiently for God. In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We just heard those words sung from Psalm 27, one of my favorite psalms, and maybe yours too. The words "wait patiently for God" played over and over in my mind when I read them. What could this possibly mean, I thought. Well, this is what a bit of introspection led to. Here we are in this contemplative season of Lent. In planning on what to do and what not to do, one tends to think of practicing selective disciplines, either silently, privately, or in public settings, such as this time of worship. Most likely, and as believers, such disciplines are prompted by our faith traditions, praying, fasting, celebrating the sacraments, engaging in moments of meditation, and participating in acts of charity. In a moment of meditation on the selected psalm for today, reading it with my heart, which means reading it at least four times and allowing pauses for reflection, I found myself reading and thinking of Lenten practices. What should I give up? What should I take on? Guided by God's Holy Spirit, my mind got stuck on the words, "Wait patiently for God." How do these words relate to Lenten practices was my first thought. The idea came, center your mind on the idea of waiting. Think deeply, how does it feel to wait? What thoughts occupy your mind as you wait? And what do you do when you must wait for anything? But especially when you must wait during a time of testing. Life demands our waiting, all of us, without exception, for something or other. At times, waiting may seem like a fleeting moment, such as waiting to cross the street when it's safe. At other times, waiting may seem like an eternity. In this moment, as God's family, you and I are waiting for an end to the pandemic, which seems like an eternity of waiting. You and I are also waiting for an end to war, all wars and injustices of all kind, also seems like an eternity. And then there's waiting of a personal nature, something that has to do with our lives' circumstances. Waiting to hear from a long-lost loved one, waiting for news of a medical report, waiting for news about a job interview, and the list goes on and on. But wait, we must, even as we pray, waiting and the praying. That's our general practice because you and I believe that God will hear and God will deliver us in the fullness of time, God's time. I love to hear these words when they're said in the Eucharistic prayer, in the fullness of time. They bring calm when I feel impatient in waiting, or when I think, how long, O Lord, how long must I wait? And so, continuing with the mindset of deeper introspection, I discovered that this psalm, Psalm 27, offered a blueprint on how to practice waiting. Step one, begin on a firm foundation of faith, like the psalmist does in declaring at the very beginning, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. This declaration or affirmation creates the reality of who God is and a reminder of what God can do. And it subdues our human tendencies to fear or disbelieve or become anxious because we have already declared who we are waiting for or on. Reminded of this first step, the psalmist demonstrates that despite the assaults of the enemy, you and I can wait while singing thanksgiving and praises to God. The psalmist says, therefore, I will offer in your dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing and make music to you. Music therapy, I call it, a healing, calming recourse when one is waiting. Surely you remember waiting to return to worship as the pandemic threatened. How good it felt to come back to worship after waiting to sing our oblations once again. Still going deeper, I pondered on the goodness of God. The goodness of God in the land of the living, the psalmist says. At first, the two didn't come together. I said, what does this have to do with waiting? And then, the aha moment, as I reflected on waiting and coping during a recent health challenge. The goodness of God in the land of the living. Are you waiting to hear this? The goodness of God in the land of the living, that's you, my friends. You are the goodness of God in the land of the living, being God's light in the world and in the lives of those waiting for whatever reason. You sharing acts of God's love with kindness and care while strengthening the resolve of God's beloved children who are waiting and coping with sickness or sorrow or need or any other kind of adversity. I can recall the day of my surgery. It was scheduled for mid-afternoon. I arrived at the hospital, followed security and sign-in protocols, and with my daughter began to make my way to the elevator and designated area. Looking around, there was Father Steve waiting. We exchanged greetings. He didn't just exchange greetings and then leave my daughter and me, but accompanied us to the designated surgical area as far as he was able to go. He prayed with me. We chatted briefly. Even after the nurse came to escort me for preparation, Father Steve waited with my daughter for a little while longer. I know they were talking. She never told me what they were talking about, but it's okay. I also recall the care I received from God's people everywhere as I was waiting for the surgery. I resist the urge to call names, but some among the church family kept an all-day prayer vigil while I lay waiting and praying. And even though the surgery was delayed for several hours, I think about 6 hours, everyone waited to hear news of how things went. It was late when they got the news as well. And so many others supported in the most loving ways, too many to mention. The people of God, coming in the name of God, acting on behalf of God, reminded me that God is always present in the visible forms of people who do the things that God has commissioned us to do. I felt loved, cared for, and never alone. So, feeling that assurance, I filled my waiting moments with the promises of God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let not your heart be troubled. I am with you always. Little bits and pieces from different parts of Scripture. And of course, because I said Psalm 27 is my favorite, I also said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Why should I be afraid? Indeed, my heart continues to be strong and take courage. I remember all of you in my prayers and thank God for you also. Today, having waited a long time as I was away from church quite often, I have the opportunity to say thank you. Thanks to all of you, the entire family of God, here at All Saints and wherever you are. There's a beautiful song most of you may know. It says, you'll never walk alone. Well, good news. God intends that you and I will never wait alone. Thanks be to God. Maybe one day the choir will sing that song for us. Thankfully, the goodness of God is boundless. The world waits as people of God continually act on God's behalf as much as it is humanly possible on the petitions like those expressed in the Great Litany, which you may remember us participating in last week, praying for every human need under the sun. Doing so consciously and in anticipation of God's pleasure to grant them. This contemplation leads me to new realizations about waiting, that it is both a precious gift and a great blessing. A precious gift in the sense that waiting offers time. Time to be mindful and make discoveries about God. And waiting offers time for heartfelt prayers like those expressed in the psalm, such as the one for today. Through the psalms, one can pray about any human need and express any human emotion. By waiting, you and I can offer faithful service to God, being God's light in the world. And as for the outcomes, I think of this in terms of the fruit of the Spirit for each of us. Blessings of joy and peace and strength, to name a few of the benefits of waiting. So where did my introspection get me? You may be asking. I also discovered that waiting provides us, you and me, the opportunity to grow in God's grace in a disciplined way. Thinking about Lenten disciplines, I believe that this is a great one to practice, waiting. As we stand on faith, stay in constant prayer, and serve God, while waiting. I waited a long time to preach again, and today, here I am by God's grace and your prayers, the goodness of God. By doing this, I think the wait is less weighty, less likely to create anxiety, fear, or impatience, because the waiting is active. We're doing as we wait. And as we do these practices, the human emotions that try to tempt us and turn us away from God are less likely to dominate our mind and our thoughts. And so, my friends, as you wait, for whatever reason, cast all your cares upon God. Pray without ceasing. Live out the love of God in service to each other. Practice, practice, practice. You and I can always strive to become better versions of ourselves. In fact, the Lenten practices, all of them, are purposeful to help us become better versions of ourselves. No turning back. So let not your wait be idle. Seek God, believe God, serve God, even as you wait patiently on God. Amen.